comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Well, this has been a really interesting and challenging weekend here at the Kevin Smith Show. And you actually cannot begin to imagine. One of the computers on Friday night, right after the show, went down. And it went down, I won't go into all the hairy details here, but we picked up a virus as we ran an update on some drivers after the show. And what it did was knocked us off of the internet with that computer. Now, we still had the other computers on the internet, and they were doing what they do. But this computer couldn't get on the internet. And so, you know, normally you can just roll back the drivers, but this virus had prevented it from backing up the driver, and so there was nothing to roll back to. It prevented the installation of a new driver. It was rather pernicious. I won't go into all the details, but it was not until Sunday night at around just after 10 p.m. We got that fixed and back in service. But that's the computer that does a couple of things. For one thing, that's the computer that handles our TV channel. So those of you who are watching tonight, we're back on it. There will be some changes just for tonight. Changes being we cannot play for you during the breaks, any of the video breaks. You'll just hear music and see a graphic, and maybe that'll be okay. That's the way it has to be for tonight. It is fixed, but all of that time that was spent working on getting this thing fixed and getting it back up threw us way, way, way behind in our schedule. It also meant that we could not send out the K files. And I know there are people that are thinking, well, now you can. Well, the work window scheduled for that has come and gone. So the K files for this past week just didn't make it. We will try to include as much of that in this upcoming K files as we can, so you won't miss anything important. But it was challenging and exciting and frustrating and all that. But thankfully, we finally got the problem solved by all kinds of trickery, and had to wear several magic hats. But we finally got there, and we're back, and I'm glad it's back. Otherwise, there would be no TV show tonight. The K-Files will go out this week, and if you're not subscribed, be sure you do. All you have to do is slide over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files, and subscribe. You'll get an email automatically, and in that email is a link for you to click to activate your subscription. Be sure you do that. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And so those of you who are watching the show, you're members, and you're getting to watch the show. Now you've seen what I was talking about. We can't play any video during the breaks, but we should have that fixed and ready to go by tomorrow. But then again, it is a radio show, isn't it? So, hey, not a bad deal. You got to hear more music this way. My guest this evening is Dr. Gerald Epling, and Dr. Epling has been with us actually a number of times over the years. You, if you're a long-time listener, will remember the shows that we did where he talked about the fact that plants actually respond to our thoughts before we take an action. Been a lot of studies that show that plants respond to music, they respond to you talking to them. Dr. Epling's work showed that they respond just to your thoughts, and we had a lot of deep conversations about what that meant about consciousness. It's been a while since he's been back here on the show, but he is back with us tonight. Dr. Gerald Epling, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be back.
Dr. Epling, since that last show, it's been a long time since you've been with us, but you obviously are not static. You've been doing things and new projects, and you've had a lot of new stuff come online. Tell us a little bit about that. Catch us up to date. What's going on in the world of Epling right now?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. Yes, I took the instruments that I used with plants and adapted them for humans so that you could pick up heart signals with brain waves and the emotional signals that come with the waves gradually going up and down. So I made sort of a venture into holistic electrophysiology and enjoyed that very much, made some good notes. Then I came around to work with sound waves to stimulate certain states of consciousness with sounds. And on March 9th, you sent out a K-Files that was really interesting. Do you remember that K-Files March 9th?
Well, I don't remember by date, but tell me what you thought was interesting. I probably remember the article or video.
Okay. Well, on the island of Malta, they had an underground chamber where people could go down and make tones, and they would hear the voices echo through the chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thought that this might change their state of consciousness. And as a reach, they said that this is probably like the consciousness that was achieved in a study by Ian Cook at UCLA. So I picked up the Ian Cook paper and I read it, and it was fascinating. They showed that you could turn off parts of the frontal lobes, which is where you do a lot of thinking, planning, things like that, but basically not turn them all the way off, but dial it down a bit. And turn on the temporal lobes and parts of the brain that you use for emotional processing.
Okay.
That was a fascinating K-Files that you sent out March 9th, and I know you probably don't do it by date, I don't either, but I'm sure you remember it now.
Yeah, I remember the article. Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great article. So I took some of that information and tied it in with other research that I had done to drive the brain to different states of consciousness. And I wrote an app for the iPhone and the Android and the BlackBerry tablet so that you could use two tones, one in each ear, and it helps drive you into different states of consciousness.
So the K-Files actually spurred some scientific development.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Oh, this is a great show. I really look forward to the K-Files when they come in, and I know we missed it this time, but there'll be another one in the future.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, computers are fun, but only when they want to play. But every once in a while, something happens, and they say, okay, now we're going to play with you. And that's what this one did this weekend, was play with me. But I won.
Good for you. You can always unplug it.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to have this computer functioning because it's how we do the TV show.
Yeah, the satisfaction is fleeting.
All right. Well, now, let me ask you about these different states of consciousness.
Yes.
Just as a jumping in point here, let me just ask, okay, so what? So I change a state of consciousness. So what? What
happens? That's a great way to look at it, because if you can't say so what and come back with an answer, maybe you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I always do that when I'm sitting down looking at something I can do, because there's so many things you can do in the world of science, but you have to ask, so what? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the delta sounds that I have. It's a 2 hertz sound. It's 520 hertz and 530, so the difference is 2 cycles per second. And it really relaxes me when I get ready to go to bed at night. So that's useful for getting ready to go to bed. Theta is a little faster on my machine. And theta is the doorway to imagination and intuition. I use theta when I want to sit back and start relaxing and maybe start wondering about new things or looking off into new horizons. And I really enjoy the theta on this. I think I've pretty well gotten the theta tuned to where it's very effective.
Okay, so a person that's not very creative normally, not very imaginative normally, could use this, and what effect would it have? Would it switch on creativity for them?
It would act as a stimulant to creativity. It would prime them, and it would orient them toward creativity. This alone won't do it, but if they have some creative drive or creative inkling, mm-hmm. this could help them get another perspective on what that state of consciousness feels like. Many times I found that developing something new is just a matter of experiencing something in one area and then experiencing a similar thing in another area, beginning to put all the pieces together. And this is a piece of the puzzle that I believe would really help people.
All right, let's get specific about, we're talking sort of in generalities, you and I, about it enhances creativity. Let's get a little specific about how's that going to actually help somebody. I mean, okay, let's say you got somebody that's writing a novel. What would be the difference with and without this device?
Always subjective, so I can give you a subjective report of how it's helped me.
Okay.
And what I found I'm able to do is, if I want to rest, I can go from theta to delta and go to sleep. Or if I'm a little sluggish in the morning, I might start at theta and bring it up to alpha, or just stay in theta for a while. If I start thinking about something I'm writing, and then I play theta, it's as if my mind's making connections that I never would have made before, at least not at that point in time. My writing has often been tied to a beta level of consciousness. It's always been, not always, but for a large part of my life, my writing has been very scientific. Mm-hmm. Very, did we indicate item A, B, and C leads to D? Did we get this in order? Is the sentence structure good? And that was good study, good practice. But it's not like creative writing or writing that might take you to look at a new way to apply the science. So for me, theta has been, it's been that. It's been helpful in that regard.
And has it helped you to think of new ways to apply this science?
It has.
Let's talk about them. What are some of those ways to apply it?
All right. Well, with the Kevin Smith Show and the K-Files from Mars, where you talked about the island of Malta and the sounds, mm-hmm. that inspired me to think about taking it to a level of social consciousness, a level where it's not just you sitting back listening to two earphones and going into a state of consciousness, but maybe you interacting with others. And that usually encourages higher frequency activity in the brain. So one of the things I've done is added gamma, and gamma is so interesting. It's about 38 hertz to 100 hertz. Most people would say that's gamma. And gamma is the area where you have lucid dreaming and the area where you're able to organize things. When you come into a math class, sit down and look up at the bulletin board and look around and see what's on the chalkboard, the ideal student's in gamma because he's organizing himself, orienting himself to the task. When I go for a walk and I into a new neighborhood, I tend to look around and organize where I would like to walk, what side of the street looks more pleasant, maybe over under the shade if it's the summer, maybe on the sunny side if it's the winter. And this is what gamma provides. But it also provides that interesting interplay that if you're having a dream, you can see how it's going to go and rearrange it while you're dreaming, which is lucid dreaming.
And so what's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of lucid dreaming, and what's the benefit of being able to rearrange it?
It's like the ability to see where you're going before you go there and make plans. There are always unintended consequences to activities. And if you can imagine how they would play out and see what people might do with a piece of material that you write or with a piece of hardware that you develop or how an interaction might change a person's life, then you can choose the optimum trajectory for the best for the other people and the best for yourself and the best for the environment. So in that way, I see it as very useful to be able to plan and organize what you're doing and where you're going.
Fair enough. All right, so basically then one of the results, one of the outcomes of using this technology is that in a way you get to see your future.
Yes.
How accurate is that?
It's not like remote viewing. At least it's not for me. That's not been my experience because the accuracy would not be there. But it's as accurate as my personal understanding. And sometimes things will pop into my head that, you know, I don't even remember learning when I'm using the gamma. And I think that's just making new connections, I would suppose.
Okay. We've got a few minutes here. I just checked the clock. We've got a few minutes before we take our first break.
Okay.
So you've done a lot of work in the past with plants, and you and I have had some deep discussions about whether your work indicates plants are accessing, experiencing, processing, or whatever, consciousness.
Right.
I don't think anything has consciousness, and you know that. I think we are consciousness. We are, consciousness is happening, and we are a manifestation of it. That's the way I look at it. I can't prove it. Okay, but, let me put it this way. We are biology. Consciousness has taken up residence in us and made us conscious sentient beings. Otherwise, we're just chemicals. And so consciousness then, I would say, is life that animates our biology and makes us sentient. So I think we're an extension of and a manifestation of consciousness that just exists and pervades everything. Now, again, I can't prove that, and some people would say that's a belief. It's not really, because I could give it up easily. It's what I think based on what I've observed. Now, plants are alive, and they respond to consciousness because, in my opinion, consciousness pervades everything. So consciousness is pervading the plants and me. And your experiment shows that when I think about those plants, they respond to the thoughts, meaning there's a connection to my thoughts, and that connection, I think, is that consciousness that pervades us all. Having said that, have you aimed this technology at any plants to see if it changes their responses?
Well, yes. It's sort of a natural extension.
Okay. And does it change their responses?
Yes. The way that... and there are many things that go into it. What you're calling consciousness, I'm real comfortable saying that that's life. And I'm kind of pushing consciousness to the side for the moment. But when I think about
you,
it...
You know what? You did that last time, too.
Did I? Hey, I'm consistent.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sure they're alive. I absolutely am positive they're alive. The consciousness thing, I'm struggling with that. But when I think about them, I do things for them, too. I water them more regularly. I make sure they're getting turned in the sun. And so there's got to be an input for that. But then there's also the input where I'll have a meter on them, and I'll be in another room, and I'll think about them, and I'll hear the response from the plant at the time I think about them. So they're, sure, I've used the technology in that way and found that it works.
Well, I guess what I'm talking about, instead of the technology being aimed at you and then you thinking about them, have you turned that technology on them and then thought about them?
Oh, you mean perhaps wire myself up and then see if the plants are thinking about me?
No.
No.
No. Broadcast the what signal was it that makes you sleepy?
Delta.
Delta. So broadcast the delta signal at the plants. You go elsewhere and think about the plants, measure their response, then turn it on theta and aim it at the plants so that they're experiencing theta. Go somewhere else and you think, just in your natural state, you think about the plants and see what the response is in theta and compare the theta and delta responses of the plants.
Now, that's not like an experiment. I was overthinking it here. Sure. No, I haven't done that. I have not done that. That's interesting, though.
But you know what that would mean? It'll be scary for you.
Oh, well, it would mean that they have a consciousness.
It would mean that they are consciousness.
Most likely.
Yeah, just like us. We are consciousness being expressed as us. They are consciousness being expressed as them. And so I hope you do that experiment because I would like for you to prove me right.
I'd like to be able to track that consciousness down and see where it comes from.
All right, we'll have to do that right after this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, where we are consciously talking with Dr. Gerald Epling. All right. You know, and you're a smart guy. I know you know the logical extension of what my line of reasoning is.
Yes.
And the logical extension, next step, is... You point the technology at the plants and you think thought A from another location. You record their response, and then you've got it on delta. Now you go to theta, point it at the plants, and then you go to another location and you think exactly the same thought and record their response. If there's a difference, it doesn't mean, in my opinion, that they have consciousness. It means that consciousness is, it pervades. But the next step, the logical extension is, it's a field. And what's happening is you are altering the field locally. that would be, and I don't know how you would test for that, but that would be the next step in my line of reasoning.
I think there are easier ways to get at the field. The plant thing is fascinating. But plants are kind of like flying aircraft, you know, hours of boredom punctuated by just moments of absolute terror.
Yeah.
Plants might go a week before giving you another response.
Yeah.
So that would be really drawn out. But I would use the Dracaena. They're most likely to give responses. And in a week time, has the sunshine changed? So you'd want to find a way to try to pull that together within one day's time to do the study. I'll ponder that for a bit. It's going to be on the back burner for a while, because I'm having great fun with humans.
Yeah, well, you know, humans can be fun, but they can also get a little hairy on you, you know?
Oh, they can.
All right. Using the technology, and I'm going to come back to the actual technology, the apps that you've written. I'll come back to that in a moment.
Yeah.
But just using the technology that you've developed, would this be something similar, something sort of like doing mind control on yourself?
Actually, I advertise it as mind control. So,
well.
Yes. The way I look at it, if you don't control your mind, somebody else will. So you may as well step up and do it.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. But the human race now has gotten along for several millennia, multitudes of millennia, without any type of technology for controlling minds. And now you have technology that you're advertising as mind control that you can use on yourself. Would you say that the human race will be better if we can do this, or have we done okay?
I think we've done okay. I think this can be something beneficial for individuals and eventually for groups. But now, we've had mind control ever since we've had mankind. There have been rhythmic thumps on drums, there have been musical tones, chants, and some of the low-frequency chants will vibrate the skull and the sinuses, and that puts you into one state of consciousness or another.
So yeah, it'll make your nose drip, one or the other.
It could. It could clear your sinuses, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and actually, just about everything we do in a social setting has components of mind control in it, whether we realize it or not. I mean, you go to a movie. The theater doesn't make its money off of the ticket sales. Almost all of that, goes to the movie companies. They make their money when you buy popcorn and Cokes and stuff like that. And so what do? They pump you full of ads to get up and go buy a Coke. Get up and go buy a popcorn, you know. And in a sense, this is mind control. Then it doesn't mean they're actually controlling your behavior, but they are influencing it.
Well, the mind drives the behavior.
So does this alter behavior?
Absolutely.
How?
Absolutely.
How does this alter behavior?
If you were to make a beta stimulation between, say, 13 and 28 hertz, you could help a person speed up parts of their brain that are used to solve problems or to think through an issue. If you used it between 30 and 40 hertz, you could promote anxiety. My app does not have anything that would be in the beta region between the 30 and 40 hertz. It's below 40. It's at the low end of gamma, that's about 40, but it's not the beta frequency. There's a sort of a component structure to it, as well as frequency, that drives that. So if you misuse beta, you can induce anxiety.
Now I assume we're talking about, these are audible tones that we put on the headphones, we can hear these tones, right?
They are. And if you don't like them, you take off the headphones. So you have control at all times.
Mm-hmm. Is there any relationship between the volume at which they're played and the effectiveness?
I have not tested that, but I would suspect that there would be.
Mm-hmm.
The louder, the more... You would probably have different effects if you turned it up 85, 86, 87 dB. I try to keep it 84 dB or lower because I don't want to damage anyone's hearing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there are some people that will, you know, they'll have a booster, they'll probably turn it up higher. But I've not gone there.
What about lower? What about if someone, let's say some black ops agency, grabbed the beta frequencies you're talking about and began to just transmit them in a region, in an area, in very, very low volume, but over a long period of time?
It should work. It should drive the person into beta.
So you could actually drive a population into anxiety with this type, not your technology, but with this type of technology.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Or if it was a government with a conscience run by people who still have souls, aside from that being a rare commodity, they could transmit theta. Is that theta is the one that makes you more creative?
It is. Exactly right.
And so they could stimulate people without people even knowing it to be more creative, and this would actually boost an economy, wouldn't it?
I think it would.
Mm-hmm.
And a funny thing happens. I think I found really good theta on this. I worked a long time to get like the right frequency match and the right modulation. But I noticed when I use it for maybe 15 minutes a night for two or three nights, then I start noticing theta frequencies in like a refrigerator or an air conditioner or different things that are running. And it kind of tickles me to pick up that sound, and it stands out more for me. And it must be that it has an influence on the state of consciousness too.
What sort of application could be derived from the technology for mental health professionals, for their use?
You know, I am a board-certified clinical psychotherapist and a nationally certified psychologist, so I have to really think carefully and say that I would not prescribe this for anybody because I don't prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
But just thinking, you know, blue sky, where could we go with this?
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to me that the delta frequency, if a person had high blood pressure, listening to delta for maybe 30 minutes a day, it would seem that that could possibly help them become more tuned to their body, to become more aware of their heartbeat, and it could lower their blood pressure for some time. So that's
well,
one use.
I might have to try that.
Yeah.
You know, that sure beats swallowing pills.
Well, I'll see if we can't hook you up with the technology here.
Well, it would have to be done some way without a cell phone because I'm absolutely allergic to the idea of cell phones.
This could happen. Just for you.
Oh, okay. Cool beans, as they say.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to talk about the actual technology itself. We got about 3.5 minutes or so here before the next break.
Yes.
You've written apps for the iPhone, the Android, and what else? BlackBerry?
The BlackBerry tablet.
BlackBerry tablet. And these are available where?
Well, the BlackBerry tablet app is available at the BlackBerry App Store, and the iPhone app is available at iTunes, and the Android for Nook and Amazon. If you go to braindriver.com,
mm-hmm.
it has links to everywhere that they're available.
Okay, braindriver.com.
So
if I've got an iPhone, which I don't nor shall, but if I did, I could go over to iTunes and download this app And then how am I hearing it? Through the telephone speakers?
The best way to hear it is to put in some earbuds and have one speaker in the right ear and the other speaker in the left ear, because you're really looking at the difference between the tones to set up that lower frequency inside your brain. But for Delta...
Hang on a second. Does it matter which earbud goes in which ear?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. You can't mix it up and have any bad effect at all.
Okay. And you started to say, but for the Delta something.
For Delta, I've set up the BlackBerry Playbook and let it play at night, and it makes a nice standing wave because it's a low frequency. And even for Theta, for those two low frequencies, I seem to get some benefit in the free space, just listening to it in the air. But it's best with earbuds or headphones.
Why?
Well, the lower frequency has a nice rhythm to it that you can pick up. The higher frequencies, not so much. It's kind of there, but you don't really get the rhythm from it. So it's not as... You really see a loss in effectiveness if you don't use earbuds for alpha, beta, and gamma.
Mm-hmm. So, same, all of these are exactly the same, just for different devices, right?
Yes,
these apps.
The modulation, the frequencies, the right down to the cycles per second, it's the same thing, just on a different platform.
How long has this been out?
Over a year.
And are people responding well to it?
They are. Some people send me really nice emails. Mm-hmm. And some people... You probably get emails from some people who are just basically disturbed, and they send you maybe a disturbing comment. I've gotten the fewest disturbing comments with this app of any app I ever wrote or any presentation I have ever done. Most of them are really positive. And a lot of people just don't even, they don't respond. They just kind of get the app and kind of go off like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, there are people that are sort of born in the objective mood, and you know, they just object to everything. Not all people are that way when they're objecting, but there are some people. I mean, well, my dad used to say they would complain if you hung them with a gold rope. We'll talk about them when we come back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Dr. Gerald Epling, and we're talking about the strange space of the mind, and it is a strange and mysterious thing, the mind. Doctor, I said we would talk about people that are born in the objective mood.
Yes.
And this technology. Does this technology turn a lion into a lamb?
For moments, it may. It may do a lot of good for those people for some time. And a lot of emotional healing and learning mm-hmm. is having a moment of good times. So some people don't have many good times in their life. And if you give them a moment here, a moment there, people start to catch on, and most people do, and they say, oh, that's more fun than being not so kind or very objective or objectionable.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've just let yourself in for some huge lawsuits.
How's that?
See, I got your attention then, didn't I?
Yeah, because I really didn't catch that. I said,
okay, so you've got a number one best-selling screamo rocker, in-your-face radical music writer.
Mm-hmm.
He plugs these earbuds in, and all he can write after that is love songs, and you destroy his income. So now what?
Now, in my opinion, it could give him some moments of relaxation, but I don't think it's going to be so strong as to destroy his income. Although with continued use, you know, perhaps.
You might
want to watch out for that.
Yeah, you might put a warning label on it. This warning, this might make you nice.
Yeah.
Be careful here.
Oh.
So
the really need it will say, can you define nice?
All right, so DARPA could get a hold of this technology and decide they're going to do the low-level broadcast of theta into a region where there's a bunch of insurgents. Is it going to make them a little bit less fierce fighters?
With beta, it actually might sharpen their skills. They might be able to
stay away from
better, to be more relaxed as they pull the trigger. I would recommend probably Delta, maybe put them to sleep, and maybe a little beta in the anxiety zone.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You know what? I bet they've got that kind of technology in Delta and beta.
I bet they do.
Yeah, I bet they've already got that.
Yeah.
And that actually might account for some of the craziness, not all of it, but some of the craziness that we see in society all around this world. It looks like the whole damn world's gone insane.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about this facial recognition that you hear about on Facebook? They'll be able to recognize you by your face.
It already can.
That's if you look straight into it, just like you were looking at it when they took your picture.
You know, I don't think so. I was talking with, I write music with Jeff Bird. He writes the music. He is the music. I write the lyrics.
He plays guitar, doesn't he?
He plays everything there is.
Oh, wow.
It's unbelievable.
I think I've heard a little bit of his guitar work, and I was very impressed.
Well, I would love to play some of it here, but I can't do that yet. It's not ready for release yet, but it's coming.
Okay.
He's absolutely phenomenal. He's incredible. But that may account for why he's number 16 on the Nashville chart at
16
at Reverb Nation. But anyway, here's
great.
The deal. With this technology, it is also possible. I was headed somewhere else with it, but I'm going here with it since we talked about it. It's possible, isn't it, that some music artists, some record companies may pick up on this and transmit those tones in while they're recording the music so that you're picking them up sort of subliminally, and you have the emotional response to the music they want you to have?
Certainly may be, and you're keying in there on emotional response. Sure, that brings up a number of concepts. The 100 hertz, 110 hertz region, right in there, you can reduce activity in the frontal lobe so they're not thinking so much, reduce activity in the language centers, and turn on the emotional centers to a greater extent. You know, these aren't huge changes in most people, but there are variations, mm-hmm. and they're clear. So why not? You could introduce a little theta. Probably wouldn't want to introduce data. Your people, delta, would go to sleep with delta.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm talking about all the applications for this that I hope are never used, and then we'll come back. Because I am headed somewhere. You know me. You know I've got a destination here. But the deal is we're going to Fort Worth by way of L.A.
Okay,
so we're going a long way around here. All right, so here's the deal. With this technology, isn't it possible that there may be commercial applications for this, so that you walk into a store and they're playing a certain frequency that makes you want to buy?
Oh, sure. I hadn't thought about that. But and I know it probably sounds amazing in my head, but I really hadn't. I was focusing more on psychological well-being. But sure.
Okay. All of those things I've been mentioning are things I hope that it does not get used for. I know it probably is being used for some of it already, but I hope it's not used for any of that stuff. I think we ought to leave humans alone with their own minds. And if they decide they want to stimulate certain parts of their mind, then that's a choice they make, just as if they make a choice to use chemical stimulants like alcohol or a depressant, but like lots of alcohol. So I think that should be a personal choice of theirs. All right, so now here's the destination. Assuming that we have nefarious reptiles in black ops things that decide that they are going to use this against a wide area to create anxiety, is it not possible that by using your technology, I can nullify what they're doing and remain normal?
Sure. Sure. You just look at the fields that they might come into your environment with. There's the electrical field through the transformer. So you would want to have some inductive smoothing on the line there so that they can't really modulate that power so much. As far as the RF, it's kind of tough because the RF's very strong, but a magnetic field should provide an effective shield for that.
Yeah, but just let's say I've been out shopping.
Right.
Which I don't do. I know that's hard for people to realize, but I don't like to go shopping. I've never liked shopping. I do what's called combat shopping.
How's that work?
Well, like you walk into a mall, right?
Right.
I need a shirt. I stand at the door and look through the door. If I see a color I like, I go in and check to see if they have the right size. If I don't see the color I like, I move on. So I don't go in the store to shop. I go in the store to buy. I have a target. The target is that shirt at that color. And bang, if they've got
Doesn't
it my size,
that's
that
way?
Do what?
Doesn't everybody shop that way?
Well, no. No. Some people love to just go look. You know, I don't. I know what I'm going for, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't like to shop. But I've been at the mall. They've been playing this signal that makes me want to shop, makes me want to buy. When I get home, or even while I'm at the mall, if I'm carrying my iPhone, which I don't own, but if I had my iPhone, I could plug in the earbuds and play signals from your app that nullify whatever they're programming me with, right?
I think that you would definitely work contrary to what they're trying to do. I think that you could do that.
So your device, and this is the destination, this is where I've been getting or headed to, your device could actually provide some mental, psychological self-defense against the dark arts that may be aimed at us.
I think it could provide some of the best self-defense in that it would increase your knowledge and you would become more aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. That's huge because once you've used something to get to a certain state of consciousness a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
it becomes easier to go back to that state of consciousness. So you might not even need to carry it with you all the time. You might just need to use it occasionally to tune yourself up. But if you had the earbuds in and you were playing...
We have to step away for a break. I'll let you finish that on the other side. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back more with the Mind Man right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're talking this evening with Dr. Gerald Epling. If you missed the first hour, you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that caused that, and my deepest hopes and wishes and all my best thoughts toward you never having to experience that tragedy and trauma again. Dr. Epling is an expert, actually, in memory and the way memories happen, and his research has led him into a lot of different other directions sort of associated with it. And we're talking about a technology which he has developed and written apps for. There are somewhat similar technologies out there, but these are on apps that you can get for your iPhone, your Android, your BlackBerry, what's it called? BlackBerry what?
BlackBerry tablet.
Tablet.
The Playbook.
Yeah, the Playbook. All right, so you can get that. And what this does is assist you in getting into certain states of consciousness, more creative or more relaxed, more industrious at certain things, and sleepy when you need help with that. But let's talk about this. What does it do for your memory? Anything?
I think that it gives you the memory boost that comes with a nice, relaxed focus of the mind. People who meditate regularly are often able to learn things a little bit better than if they don't meditate. So they're forming that memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to help you with memory formation and with overall well-being. And it has a nice feature that you can use to subliminally influence yourself. I built the app on all the platforms as a background player. So you could pick up your favorite music, turn it on, turn on Brain Driver, have Brain Driver running in the background, and adjust the volume independently of the other music.
Mm-hmm.
Make it to where you can just hear it, then back it off a little bit, and now you've got a subliminal influence.
And what would that do for us?
It probably would go ahead and have the same sort of influence that it would without the music playing over it. If I were walking in a mall and I wanted to use this,
mm-hmm.
I most likely would play some music and use it as a background player, use the Brain Driver as a background player to give me the tones that I wanted to have for the state of consciousness that I wanted to have, along with some nice music.
Is it possible this is going to change your taste in music and in books and movies and TV shows? Is it possible that by using this device, somebody that likes screamo is suddenly going to like Frank Sinatra?
Frank, I was hoping you'd say Vivaldi, and I was going to say we can hope. Not Frank Sinatra's good.
You like Vivaldi, do you?
Oh, yes. But I like a lot of the music you play also. I don't know many of the names, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I do find that it has improved my enjoyment of music.
But it hasn't changed your taste in music, is that right?
It may have broadened it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Now,
that's
I'm
good.
Still not a rap fan. Don't think I'll ever be. And
that's just because you're too old to listen fast enough.
Possible. You just have to make allowances sometimes for people, and that's one that I claim.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, so it's not really going to change who you are, at least not quickly, is it?
The use of tones has been shown to have sometimes very quick effects on people. Sometimes a person will hear a piece of music that really moves them, and they have an immediate effect. In my opinion, this could have that sort of effect on some people. The use of a very restful delta when they've been stressed all day, I think probably 15 minutes of that might really turn that around. But the effect would not be long-lasting in that it would influence their mind and keep them there. They would be able to modulate their own thinking and their own mind at will. So I think it would make them maybe sort of a broader individual, broader understanding.
So this doesn't do anything that overrides your free will?
Not at all. Not at all the settings. As a matter of fact, that's why I made it so that as a background player, mm-hmm. they can turn it on and listen to the sound on its own. If they want to record it and play it backwards and look for, you know, subliminal messages, be my guest. I didn't put them there. I don't think they're there. But you never, you know, you said once computers sometimes do weird things.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to speak for all the platforms they run on because I don't know what all they're doing in the background. But on the ones that I've heard run, and I've recorded them, played them back to see if I had any extra noise, and they've all been clean. Mm-hmm. So you're in control with this. You choose, you set it up the way you want to use it, and if you don't want to use it, you turn it off.
So if I record the signal and then play it backward, do I get the opposite of what we had planned on? Do I get
no,
the opposite
still
result?
The same.
So it doesn't matter to your mind whether these signals are being played forward or backward?
That's right. Won't make a difference.
A lot of people that listen to this show have had encounters that they say are encounters with extraterrestrials. I have a guest coming on tomorrow night who has had encounters with what she says are reptilian extraterrestrials. So a lot of these folks also have only vague memories of the event itself, like, well, I saw this light, and then after that I don't remember anything. You know, and so then they go into a hypnotist and get hypnotized, and they get regressed and recover memories. So for a person like this, do you think, number one, that this technology would aid them in remembering without the hypnotism? And if not, number two, will it make them more easily susceptible to hypnotism?
That's a profound question.
Thank you.
I think of Matthew Erdige, who is an expert on hypernesia, the recovery of unconscious memory.
Mm-hmm.
And my readings of Erdige in the literature suggest that hypnotic recovery may not be accurate. It may be less accurate than other methods. But still, you know, if you have a hypnosis and maybe there's a recovery of something, maybe you can build on that. But I look at the hypnotic recovery as less reliable than conscious memory, but I understand why people would use it. The people who have a traumatic experience may have difficulty recovering that memory without becoming very agitated. So there is that concept. Post-traumatic stress disorder is probably best treated with someone working with the individual who has the post-traumatic stress disorder, a knowledgeable individual that can walk them through that experience and take them past the emotional stress that comes with a recall. And that takes time.
So is there any play here for this technology?
I would think so. I wouldn't put this as a solution to anybody with PTSD. But in my opinion, I think that the Theta and the Delta could be very soothing and might help. It's a possibility it could help with hypervigilance states.
What is that? What is
hypervigilance?
Yeah.
That's where a person is always alert, always, you know, it's like his head's on a swivel, looking left, looking right, looking all around. It's a condition that comes with a post-traumatic stress disorder. And sometimes they're jumpy, too. And
well, now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
A person that's doing that doesn't necessarily have PTSD.
No.
Because I can tell you, as a cop, that's drilled into you. And right. the soldiers, that's drilled into them. You better keep that head moving, keep those eyes moving, because it's what you don't see that's going to bite you.
Right. And in the military, it's drilled in. But, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when they're just walking around the house,
yeah.
we hope that they could relax and not be in that state.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can't. Some people, and it wears on them. So anything that could help them relax has a potential to help them get better.
What do you see as your primary market for this? What's the number one market for this?
Number one market is in my mind are normal, healthy individuals that are really feeling a lot of stress today. We've got an economy that is not good. We have a national debt that's so high that many people are saying the currency is going to go bust and we'll have to reorganize the currency and have a new currency. People are losing their jobs. There's just so much stress. So I look at this as a stress buster, something people could use that might help them relieve stress. Another great stress buster is walk 30 minutes a day. Or if you're really stressful, walk 30 minutes, wait a little while, then walk 30 minutes or more, and burn off some of that energy.
And keep your earbuds in and listen to this technology.
I think this could have a use there. In my opinion, it could be useful for people.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us the name of it again.
Brain Driver.
Brain Driver. That's what the apps are called?
That's what they're called.
Brain Driver.
Yep. And I pull no punches. I call it brain driver mind control right out of the definition so people won't, you know, think I'm trying to slip one in on them. But yes, it works with there's an iPhone, and you can get a thing that looks like an iPhone called an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a telephone. So
uh-huh.
you can turn on the Wi-Fi, download it, play it there, turn off the Wi-Fi, and you get away from that radiation from the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and does it have a tracker in it too?
No. As a matter of fact, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't send information back to myself from the app.
No, I mean the iPod Touch. Does it have a tracker?
I don't know.
I bet it
does.
That's a good question. All of the big electronics people are in bed with the Black Ops people. They all are. They're tracking everything you do. Everything.
You turn on Facebook and enter your name and your age and, you know, a few important features of your life, upload a picture, and with that phone in your pocket, you walk into the room, they look at your face, they've got a much better chance of recognizing that face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You asked about facial recognition earlier. Jeff Byrd, that I was talking with him, and he was telling me about, he was doing a graphic where he downloaded a picture of me, and his iPhone pops up a message, "Is this Kevin Smith?" So, you know, it's already got you, man.
Well, it's got you in that pose.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture. That picture may be on the internet also.
Well, it is. That's where you got it from.
Sure. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, that doesn't help to have all that out there. I mean, it does make you easier to identify.
In my business, it's got to happen.
Yes.
I noticed when I was looking for a picture of you, you have almost no pictures of you on the internet.
I know. It's kind of a holdover from earlier habits.
Is this sort of like PTSD?
No.
I know a guy that's got this device, got these apps for the phone that could help you play a few tones, kind of tone yourself up there, you know, and then you'll feel comfortable about putting your picture on the internet.
Now, I do have a picture if you go to GeraldEpling.info.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to break out of this and put more information out there. I've got my picture and a multitude of links.
Yeah. I found your picture on the internet, but it wasn't easy.
It has been a challenge for me to actually put my picture out there.
Well, in my business, the talk show business, you just got to do it. And it's I'm out there everywhere. So, you know, I can't go anywhere and people, I mean, I couldn't hide anywhere.
No, you couldn't. I mean, you're well known and your picture's out there and your voice is distinctive. Yes.
So, you know, and I think, you know, their facial recognition stuff, I think, even like, you know, you grow a beard and put bushy eyebrows on, and I think it'll still get you.
Yeah, the beard and the eyebrows, maybe, but if you turn your head about 15 degrees and they don't have a picture with you at that angle,
yeah,
that should throw it off.
Well, there's pictures of me at every angle, so.
Oh, you're out of luck.
I'm toast, man.
Yeah.
I'm toast.
Where are you going to go and not be recognized?
Now that I've been thinking about this, I'm getting PTSD.
Oh, you need to get brain driver. I need to hook you up with some of the sound.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so when I'm not sitting here as talk show host and I'm not doing my 20 hours a day work on the talk show, in my spare time, as I mentioned, I work with Jeff Bird, who just writes phenomenal music. How's this going to help me? How's Brain Driver going to help me write better lyrics for Bird?
I think you'll enjoy it. I would predict that if you use it and you use Delta and Theta for a while, and then maybe start experimenting with Alpha, although I think you have a pretty good ability to pull things together in your own mind, so I'm not sure Alpha is anything you really need. I think you probably do that fairly well, but you can try it. It won't hurt you. Mess around with beta a little bit, probably not so much. Gamma, I would focus on theta, delta, theta for imagination, inspiration, mm-hmm. delta for relaxation, and a little gamma, mm-hmm. not much, a little bit goes a long way. You may find yourself hearing how your words fit into the music and flow, and maybe a time when a tune and the words just come together in your mind. I would, in my opinion, that could happen.
Do you have a setting on there to like tone it all down so I could be almost normal?
It's called Delta.
Delta? I could just kind of tune down the Kevin stuff, huh?
You could tune down and relax.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, now I'm going to be honest with you. I actually think I've got a real good balance of everything. And I don't really want to sleep more, and I don't want to dream, and I don't. I sleep 4 hours. I don't dream. And I don't want to. Dreams get in the way of me sleeping. So I go to sleep, I'm dead. That's it for 4 hours, and 4 hours from now, bang, I'm up. I don't have to have an alarm clock. I pretty much like that. So I'm not really sure I would be your market.
Yeah, you need to think about that. If you start relaxing, you might want to go for 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
That could be tough.
Need 37 hours in every day, not 24. I need 37 in every day and would use them if we had them.
Well, you'd be a good candidate for gamma. Gamma just a little bit every day.
And what does that do for me now?
Gamma helps you with organization.
Mm-hmm.
Organizational skills, the ability to see how something's going to play out, and change.
Yeah, but see, I've got this all. This runs like an assembly line, and that's why if one part breaks down, it really messes up stuff because this runs like an assembly line. I have a certain amount of time each day that has to be, you know, during that window of time, I'm doing X. When that window's over, X is over, and during the next window of time, I'm doing Y, and when that window is over, Y is over. And I have to do that in order to produce this show. And I just move from one thing to the next, and I have the same things that have to, same types of things, have to be done every day.
Hmm.
So I don't want to sleep more. I can't sleep more.
Well, that's a tough call. Do you contemplate your life?
In what way? Be more specific.
Well, maybe reflect on And Reflections goes with Alpha, and that's not necessarily the best way to do, but it's one way. But just contemplate how your life is, what you might do differently, or
no.
Where do you fit into the universe?
No. Oh. I belong where my feet are.
Okay.
And, you know, all of the contemplating about what am I going to do with my life and all of that, that was years ago. I'm doing it.
Okay. Well, we'll still hook you up with this. You might try a little delta, a little theta. You know, it could backfire on you. You might relax too much.
Yeah, if I miss a deadline somewhere, I'm going to call you.
You do. I always like to talk with you.
I'm going to say, you write that article. I got to go to sleep. Yeah.
Call up a guest host and have them take it for a while and take a day off and go out and, you know, smell the roses.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do go for walks. I mean, that's a... I don't just lock myself in the studio, but there's a window of opportunity for me to take a walk if I'm going to do it during the day.
Right.
And I know exactly how far I can walk and get back in that window. And I know exactly the route I'm going to take, and I'm going to do that. And it's a good walk, you know. Part of it's uphill, part of it's downhill, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty good exercise. And so I'm not just cooped up in here and you know, that this is all there is in my life. But the point is, I do have things arranged very, very tightly.
Right.
And, you know, if I miss that window of opportunity for walking, if I let something else overlap into that, then that's done. That walk doesn't happen. We move on to the next thing. And, because it has to be. But I'm wondering if, you know, the enhancement of creativity might be an interesting avenue to take with this.
Well, I think that's a very interesting avenue.
Mm. The people that publish me, the various articles that I write, I mean, I publish my own stuff, too, but there are others that publish what I write. They may be giving you a call saying, man, you got to tone this guy down. He has really gone around the corner now.
Well, outstanding.
Well, what are some of the comments that you've gotten? Well, I'll tell you, before we get into that, we do have a break. I just looked at the clock. We do have a break coming up. I don't want you to get into a story and then we have to break it off and say we'll get the rest of that later, which we do have to do sometimes. However, this time I looked at the clock.
Okay.
It's one of those windows, you see.
Yes.
So we have a window closing in terms of when we can talk, and we'll, a few minutes from now, have another window opening, and it has to happen in those windows.
Okay.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to step away for a break. We're talking with Dr. Gerald Epling this evening. He's always a lot of fun. Lots of interesting stuff to talk about here. And we'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
To the Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Gerald Epling, and we're talking about Brain Driver, an app that he has written for the purpose of enhancing certain states of consciousness on yourself. And we're talking about various applications for that, what it might do, talking about the strange space of our mind. So as we went away for break, I said, why don't you share with us some of the comments you've gotten back? And then I've got a couple of questions for you yet to go.
Okay. Well, one of the most interesting comments I got was a person downloaded a copy of Brain Driver, and they didn't understand an iPod Touch. It looks just like an iPhone. It just doesn't have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a small iPod, and it didn't run, and they were very disappointed that they had gotten the wrong one. But I was able to, you know, work with them, and they realized that, okay, that's how it works. The other times that stand out in mind, I always update it. If something comes on and they come up with a new operating system, I want to make sure it's still going to run for the people. So I may do a new upgrade if I see that it may need to be upgraded to go with a new op system. I did that with BlackBerry Playbook. And I had some people who had some difficulty, because I had some difficulty too. It loaded really slow. I eventually fixed that and it ran much faster. But, you know, some of the users were like, hey, you've got to fix this. I can't get it on. It's not running for me. I want you to make this work for me. I could tell they were missing it. So, you know, I fixed that little bug and it loaded faster. And they were.
Well, has anybody written to you and said, hey, this has done great stuff for me?
You know, mostly it's kind of an odd thing. They say they enjoy it, but they don't elaborate. I haven't gotten anyone to elaborate yet on what it's done for them. You know, great. They just kind of take it and go off, and they seem happy.
All right. Well, now I got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I've talked about people who have appeared on this show or who have called in or whom I know are listening, various people who have had these traumatic experiences, encounters with aliens and so forth.
Right.
But listen, folks, you don't have to have an encounter with an alien to need emotional recovery.
That's right.
Every single one of us on this planet has at some time or will have circumstances kick you in the gut so hard you're not even sure you're you anymore. Now, that happens to us. I mean, it's just one of the things about being our species. It'll kick you in the gut so hard you're not even sure you're you. Time seems out of joint. Nothing seems normal. Doctor, does this device aid in emotional recovery, or can it aid in emotional recovery?
I don't see why not. In my opinion, absolutely yes. Absolutely. I also write a blog at alphabraincoach.com where I give not very complicated advice. I try to make it, you know, just as straightforward as I can, more like a coach would give somebody advice. So there's alphabraincoach.com. At bioexperience.com, I give some things that maybe are a little deeper about. I've got an article on stress relief and some other tools that people can use, and the articles are up there for free. Anybody, anytime can go and get them and use them. But if you look at Delta, and these people, you know, you get your gut kicked, you're walking around the street, it's 2 a.m., you're not sleeping, you're wide awake. That's possibly a life-changing event that's hit you. You have to find a place, a space, where you can go and organize yourself again, or at least start to evaluate what has happened. Some events happen to a person, that'll be a long time before they can take a sip of water and taste it and feel good about it again. Hopefully you can minimize that. One of the keys that we see when we look at people who are really successful versus people who aren't is the really successful people rebound the quickest. And whatever you can do to help you rebound, to get back wiser, more informed, maybe more aware, but back up to a good level of enjoying life or coping with whatever's bothering you, the quicker you can do that, studies show, the more successful you'll be.
Well, see, now there's two more questions.
Okay.
So, is this tool useful in rehab?
I have not tried it in that setting, so I couldn't comment on that.
All right. What are the chances? This is the second question. What are the chances of a person becoming dependent on this technology as some people become dependent on drugs or alcohol? Which is a drug?
Right. And alcohol's got that biphasic thing going on. You take it, and at first it overstimulates you, and you're all, you know, stimulated and excited, and then puts you into a depression and leaves you depressed, which lasts much longer than stimulation. So alcohol's definitely a bad way to go for
time. But what about this technology? Is it possible for a person to become dependent on this?
I don't see any way that they could. I really don't. I do know people who love it. I know people that turn it on at night with a little, one fellow turns it on in the background loud enough that he can hear it. He sets it for theta. He likes to sleep with theta. And he has his favorite radio station on top of that. And he likes it. He would miss it. But I don't know anyone that I would say is addicted to it in the sense that someone would be addicted to cocaine or heroin. I see this as something that is enabling a person to experience the state of consciousness that they want to have when they want to have it, with no hangover that you would get from chemicals. You can put it down and walk away.
Well, I would think a symptom of dependency would be, man, I can sleep if I'm using this, but I forgot to charge the phone, so I can't sleep tonight. That would be a symptom of dependency, wouldn't it?
That's an interesting call. But at night, you can always plug your phone into the charger and play it.
Yeah, but what if you can't? What if the grid goes down? Now we're without it. Now we got a bunch of people walking around zombified because they couldn't sleep.
We should pray that that day never comes.
All right. Is this technology influencing the brain or the mind?
And you know, I see a difference in the two.
I know you do, and that's why I ask you.
Okay. The way I see it, it's a hook that goes in to influence the brain so that the mind can re-engage. I see it as a way to calm the brain or sometimes tune up the brain. Increase the attention ability, and then
have you considered the possibility it's bypassing the brain and connecting directly with your mind?
I have.
Do you know what would prove that?
No.
That little experiment with those plants that I talked about.
You know, it very well might. The plants are so interesting because they're so long between responses, and they're vegetables, right? Vegetative state.
Yeah.
They don't do much for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that would be an interesting thing, to get the brain driver hooked up to two or three people in an area and have them all enter, say, alpha. And so you've got three people entering alpha while you're monitoring the plant. Again, I'd use a Dracaena probably about 8 days away from watering, so it's very responsive.
Well, see, my experiment doesn't have people hooked up to it at all. My experiment has the plants hooked up to it.
Right. Well, I'd have the plants hooked up to the sensing circuit.
I would have them. I would transmit the signals directly at the plant.
Ah.
And then have people write down what you want them to think, and have them think it, and measure the response of the plants, because if they're getting the signals, if the plants are getting the signals, and they respond differently when you're using different frequencies, then that would indicate that these signals, because they don't have a brain, that would indicate these signals are influencing directly consciousness in that local area.
It would definitely show the plants are responding. How about if I hook the people up to the brain driver and let them listen to the brain driver?
Well, that would not give you any indication of how the plants are responding to the brain driver.
Well, it could. I could have them on brain driver in one room and the plants in another room.
Well, that's it. That's experiment B.
Yeah. I have to have some good meditators to do this experiment if they're not going to use the brain driver. Some people who have used the brain driver and have practiced meditation so that they could shift shift into these states of consciousness at will.
Well, you wouldn't even have to, because before you were shifting into states of consciousness, you thought about the plant out in your garden and said, I'm going to burn you or something like that, and it screamed.
It did.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm talking about. So let's just aim these signals at the plants and just have people off the street think about them.
But, you know, I've mellowed a bit. Since I see they respond to that, I haven't really done the burn experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I did a planting experiment where I monitored the leaf and planted different plants. I bought several of them and planted them, and I got a response each time a plant was planted. Round about the time I thought about it and planted it, I didn't control the time that close. And then the biggest response when I planted that particular plant that the leaf came from.
But see, the thing is, if it's aimed directly at the plants, they don't have a brain. So if it's aimed directly at the plants, and then they're giving you different responses at different frequencies when you think the same thought and have the same intent, then that tells you that these signals are influencing the mind directly and not influencing the mind through the brain.
If you have the signals that are actually influencing the plants directly, all it really shows is that they're influencing the plants directly. I think everything else is conjecture.
Well, if they're responding to your thoughts, they're responding consciousness to consciousness. And if there's a change, it means that there was a change in the consciousness in the local area around the plant.
And now what you're getting at is the concept of deep calling to deep, right?
You have learned to guess my next move. I'll never play chess with you.
Hey, it's worse than that. Read my note at alphabraincoach.com.
Yeah.
The last article I put up there ends with deep calling to deep. I have an experiment that I talk about where someone is in a factory, an industrial situation. Two women, one friend, asks the other friend to pour her a cup of coffee. So she pours her coffee. She looks down and sees something that looks like sugar, but it's marked toxic. But she goes ahead and pours it in the coffee anyway. She gives it to her friend. Her friend doesn't die, so there's no harm done, right?
Okay.
But is that part of the brain has been shown to activate that would say, well, yeah, you shouldn't have put the potentially toxic coffee in there because just doing that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when they zap that part of the brain, the person doesn't even think of it as a bad thing. They think, oh, no harm done.
Yeah.
So I end the article, that's sort of like deep calling to deep, or put another way, you can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So if the plant's responding, and it's responding to consciousness, now you've got a very interesting thing going. I see this, yes.
Because it has no brain, what is it that the signals are influencing? It has to be influencing the consciousness in that local area around the plant. Therefore, consciousness is a field which can be influenced.
Consciousness is. I like, you mentioned that once, and I like what you said about consciousness. Consciousness is.
All right. We has got to take a break, too. So we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening, Dr. Gerald Epling. We are now on Final Approach. We only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. And as we went away for break, Dr. Epling, you said you like what I say when I say consciousness is. But let me show you another next step in this.
Okay.
You probably have all, I'm sure you've already thought of this. With this experiment, since a plant has no brain and it's the recipient of the signals, the area around it is getting the signals, if it shows a difference in response from between the different signals, but a difference with the same thought being projected at it, then what's happening is it's responding differently based on the thought is conscious thought, and it's responding to it, and if it responds, that is a consciousness response. So what's being influenced is the consciousness around the plant, not the plant's brain, because it doesn't have one. Okay, so the next step then is to figure out what it is in us that modulates consciousness. Radio waves, for instance, if you listen to 104.5 FM, that radio wave is there whether anybody's broadcasting on it or not. It's through technology that they modulate that frequency and cause it to be able to carry waves that can be converted to sound. So what is it that's modulating in us? What is it that modulates consciousness?
The field theory has a lot to recommend it. It's a good theory, I think. And I think what you're saying is consistent with the field that there's the theory that there's a living field that surrounds all of us and perhaps permeates the universe. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. And I'm saying then that all living things to some degree are capable of modulating that field.
I agree with you.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
Outstanding.
I think it makes perfect sense. That's how we get the non-local effects.
So what is it in us that modulates consciousness?
Is it life, or is it life plus a spirit? And then you get into, is this a dichotomous or a trichotomous sort of a thing that we're looking at the human being? Does the human being even have a spirit? Some people would say, well, the human being is a body and it has a mind, and so there's a dichotomy there. Other people would say, well, the human being has a body, has a mind, but they are a spirit, so you have a trichotomy going on. And I come down in the trichotomy camp. That makes
sense. Well, see, I wouldn't say we have a mind. I say we are a mind.
It's possible.
That inhabits a body. But is it, you know, what is it that makes me capable of modulating consciousness so that a plant detects that I'm thinking about it and responds to that thought?
I'd take a swipe at that and say that, in my opinion, it's Kevin Smith. It's the person who's aware of being aware. It's the person that you are when you say I, that has worked with your brain, your life, your hands, your body, your mind for so many years that your body responds to what you need it to do, and you can use your mind, and you've put so much in your mind that it's a part of you now, and you can use your mind to shape things around you. So,
and is the mind in the body or outside the body?
I don't see why it has to be in the body.
Mm-hmm.
I do see that to have conversations with other people, you need a brain, a mind, and a body, and lungs, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see why the mind has to stay in the body at all times.
You've told us before that memory is not stored in the brain.
We don't know where it's stored. We really don't. We know memory is like a marshmallow. You push on it here, and it goes there. Technically, memory occurs when you see something and you close your eyes and you still have an after effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's memory, and that's on the retina. And the retina arises from the neural epithelium when the child is being formed. So there is a memory that is associated with the brain, but there are also memories that are location dependent. People will go away from home for a long time, and when they come back, memories will rush back in.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll get a letter from someone and it's on the same stationery that they've sent letters before and there's a meaning. Or they go to an environment, maybe a backyard with a dog, and other memories come in.
Is it possible that those are being stored in the local consciousness field
I think it's very possible that they're being stored in the local field.
Mm-hmm. And so when I walk into that field physically, I have re-entered those memories.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very likely.
Now, you see, you have described for us a weird universe.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, consciousness, the mind, it's a weird space in the universe. Or maybe the universe is in that weird space.
We don't know.
Mm.
Universe is an awfully big place, or so we think.
But I can imagine beyond the universe, even though I don't know all of the universe. So the universe is not bigger than my mind.
I think that's good to be able to reach out and expand your consciousness like that and think about things.
Well, if you think of the totality of the universe, I think everybody can think of, okay, so there is an edge to it somewhere, and what's beyond that? If I can imagine that there is, just imagine that there is something beyond it, then I have pretty much captured the totality of the universe in my mind, even though I may not be aware of all of its details.
Yeah, the way I look at it, I see the universe as something that didn't exist at one time, and then it came into existence, and now it's expanding.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably is finite, and there's something beyond that, and I can conceptualize that.
Mm-hmm. And if you can, then you have the totality of the universe in your mind, even if you're not aware of all of its details.
Would that be the attainment of enlightenment?
Okay, I wish you were where you could see me tonight. Are you able to watch me right now?
No, I've got the listen thing on, but not the watch.
Well, you know how a priest will cross and say, "Bless you, my son"?
Yeah.
When you ask me if that means that you have attained enlightenment, I'm going to give you not the Christian cross, but the Kevin circle.
Okay.
Bless you, my son. You are now running in circles. Oh, my goodness. Listen, we are out of time, but man, when you come on this show, I get a chance to dive deep, and I really appreciate that.
It's my pleasure.
And you don't ever seem put off by my mind-bending concepts.
Why should I? You're just looking.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Tell us again the name of your app and the address on the web where they can go find out about it.
Okay. The name of the app is Brain Driver, and you can find it at braindriver.com. You can also go to bioexperience.com. At bioexperience.com, I have a listing of all my apps, and I have some things that you might want to look at. There's an article on stress, another article on the electrophysiology of the body. I'm getting into holistic electrophysiology now. So I put some things out from time to time on that. So bioexperience.com, click apps, and it lists all my apps.
All right. Dr. Epling, thank you for being with us. If you will, stay on the line with me for a moment, because I do want to talk with you for just a moment after we get off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. Dr. Gerald Epling, one of the great minds, and I intend that word here, one of the great minds in this whole field, and not afraid of our genre. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.